Open your Bibles, please, to Revelations chapter 17, and let's get to work. Sometimes it's work to unlearn and to learn what's going on and make sure that our heart's right and that we're going in the right direction, that we're all on the right path. And I just want to encourage people before I start, in Daniel chapter 7, 23 through 26, says how the enemy wants to wear out the saints. And boy, is this happening to people now. And that word wear out there means to exhaust, crush, hurt, persecute, and vex. Just like Delilah vexed Samson. So we have to look for the long haul. And what we're doing now, we have to make sure that we don't grow weary because people are getting tired. People are dying. People are exhausted. People are listening to the news. And some are drinking the Kool-Aid. And that's really sad. And then others are just... people are all at different places, losing their job. So we have to stay right in the center and in the balance. And the Bible says when all these things happen, start happening, look up. Okay. Keep your eyes on Jesus because saint watching in this hour is very discouraging because many people are divided. They're divided right now by design. The enemy wants us divided. Divide and conquer. Bring chaos. It's hard to even get a weather report that's normal. Today, I think we experienced every kind of weather in just one day. There's a lot of chaos and things going on. But we're in this for the long haul, so we have to make sure we gear up our loins and not get worn out. Okay, so I want to encourage you. And then we're going to talk about the emergence of the mystical church. And this has been going on for quite a while. But we're in a time where there is kind of like a reemergence of mysticism, both outside and inside the church. And a lot of people, including myself, I didn't know what mysticism was. And so I want to just kind of briefly tell you what it is, because if you don't know what it is, you're going to think it's okay. Yeah. And it's not spirituality. It's not, it's mysticism is totally different. So in September 5th of 2005, Newsweek documented our changing religious climate, that numerous people are looking for mystical experiences in America. Now, this is the thing. They want to go to church and they want to have an experience. And so if you think that that's church, you have a wrong idea of what church is supposed to be. But this has been coming in. The door has been open to the New Age by a little crack, and now it's wide open. Now we are starting to see movements, the Word of Faith movement, the NAR movement merging together, Bethel, all these different things, bringing in the occult and all this stuff. And if you think that this is Christianity, you're not on the straight and narrow path. So we want to make sure in these end times that we won't be corrected for false doctrine and false teachings. We've all come out of that, and we're still, some of us are coming out. And thank God, the rejoicing is coming out. You're deceived and you're in. We all were in, but we're coming out. So, amen. And it's work to come out. And this is why I like to do a lot of in-depth teachings, because I like to do layer upon layer, because you can't just blast people with truth when they've been in these movements or they reject you. Because we've been taught they're going to persecute us for the great level of revelations we have. We were so indoctrinated. But now there are people are looking for these mystical experiences. And it's a popular trend to take what one wants from different religions. Take this and use it in their own spiritual belief system. And this is happening a lot in Bethel, the Church of Bethel. And was it California, Redding, California? This is what we see happening in our day inside churches, where meditation, yoga, and other religious practices, they are Christianized. Yep. They're saying it's Christian, and they're putting different labels on it so that it seeps through the door and people think it's okay. And they use it in the church. Now, Alice Bailey, I've done a lot of teaching on that. I'm just going to highlight this. She was a mystic and an occult prophet. She's considered the mother of the New Age movement. And she helped shape the New World religion that we are seeing come into play now, that we see surfacing today to create the Golden Age, the Age of Aquarius. And we have to remember one thing. Satan comes as an angel of light. So the New Age thinkers reject the idea of sin and a personal savior. And that's why things are going to get so bad. The whole Baphomet Met thing is the Luciferian thing. It's the half man and half woman, the goats and all that. We're coming into some very demonic times. And if you don't believe it, just turn on the TV and look at the commercials. I mean, commercials are just turning into embarrassment. Some of these commercials are like, huh? Yeah, the Super Bowl's coming. But they believe in an impersonal universe force within. They don't tell you. They brought it in Christianity as a force of faith, the force of love, and all this and that. This is mysticism, the force within. So stay strong, saints, because this is happening. The Bible says it's going to happen. We have to stay strong, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's in Luke 21:28. So we were lied to, thinking that we were never going to have to face challenges. We were never going to have to face sickness or disease. We were never going to have to face poverty or defeat. A lot of people have lost their jobs right now. And there's no answer for a lot of these false doctrine churches, because they just say, give more to the pastor of that pyramid, you know, and we're not going into that. But anyway, Revelations chapter 17, let's get there. This is a very interesting chapter. And we're blessed if we read it, because it's talking about the rise of the false church and the rise of the harlot. And he talks about, in verse 1, the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. We are not seeing the judgment yet. We are not seeing what's going to happen, but we have to know all these things God is allowing to happen. So we have to stay on the straight and narrow path, keep our eyes, endure to the end. He didn't say it was going to be short. He said it's going to be a marathon. It's a long haul. And when you get weary and you fall and you faint, get back up. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises again. Rise up again. But here it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. So here we see this is going to be evil. We're going to see wickedness. We're going to see a lot of sexual sins. Have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast. This is the rise of the harlot. Full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones, and pearls. Wow. You can see a lot of these political people wearing pearls. I always think of this scripture. Having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Boy, this whole thing is interesting, but he says, I tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, and what which had 7 heads and 10 horns. And so here we see, it's not just going to appear all of a sudden. It's happening. It's rising. So what do we look for? How do we know the false, the true? How do we stay on the straight and narrow? So here John sees this woman who claims to represent God. This is the thing. They claim to represent God. He sees it as a filthy harlot. And that's the other thing about God and Jesus and the real Jesus. There's a holiness to it. These preachers don't preach holiness. There's no separation of right and wrong. The Bible says that they're going to call evil good. So here we see she is pictured as a prostitute who seduces people away from God. And this is the hard part, because he seduces them away from God in the name of God. So the people that are hungry and gullible and don't know their Bibles, they're going to be seduced by her. She is in unity. Now this is, I want you to listen to this, because a lot of people get some of this, but you don't get this piece. And I can't make you get it, but I can tell you. She is in unity with both the religious and the political systems of the world. The religious and the political systems of the world. We're going to see everything politicized. Christianity is going to be part of a political system. This is not Christianity. Let me repeat that. She is in unity with both the religious and the political systems of the world. This harlot, the false church, combines all religions, and what the Bible says, she commits spiritual adultery.
Yeah.
That's heavy there. Now look in Matthew chapter 7. They oppose Christ, but they come in the name of Christ. We're talking about religious systems. We're talking about infiltration into the religious systems. In Matthew 7, 21, well, it first talks about in verse 13, he says, enter in the straight gate, and then he talks about, what are we talking about? We're talking about, keep it in context, we're talking about false prophets. In verse 15, you're going to know them how? By their fruit. What kind of fruit do they produce? All they do is want money. Are they serving the God of Mammon? That's a fruit. If they just want big churches, that's a fruit. That's not loving people. That's wanting fame. That's wanting gold, glory, and gloria, we used to say back in the day. But you'll know them by their fruits, okay? We're talking about the harlot church. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So they're saying, Lord, Lord. Some of them say in the name of Jesus. So how confusing is this? Because it's a different spirit. It's a different gospel. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. See, when we were in the faith movement, we always mocked about God's will. We know God's will. God's will is to heal everyone. God's will is to prosper everyone. And basically, it was just such a clumped together gospel, and then everybody suffered because no one felt like they measured up. So many say to me in that hour, Lord, haven't we prophesied? Boy, they are prophesying, aren't they? They are prophesying in his name. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry has got seen Jesus today. They saw Jesus. They had an angel visit. They're all.
Yeah.
I've just unhooked from so many of these magazines that every day. So this woman had encounter. This one, because this is mysticism.
Yes.
Have we not prophesied in that name and cast out devils? Be gone! I remember this guy said, "Be gone!" Blowing out the viruses and stuff. and in thy name done wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I'm not talking about people that have fallen and that they've made mistakes and they've been in deception. I'm talking about the false teachers. Here in verse 13 and 15, he's talking about false prophets. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So here we're seeing, this is the apostate church, and it's coming in Christ's name. And what are they? They're wolves, they're tares, and they're false teachers. So sad today, people are looking for God, and they are drawn to the New Age mysticism, thinking this is God.
Right.
So mysticism is in Christian language and terms. It's cloaked. We're going to get into this. What is mysticism? And open 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Masons, occultists, and New Agers are mystics.
They are.
So are Roman Catholics, mostly.
They are. Yeah.
So are charismatic movements.
They are.
The Bible doesn't use the word mystic or mystical for believers. We're called to be spiritual.
Right.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, Brethren, verse 1, I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you now able, for you are carnal. And how do we know if we're carnal? You are carnal if you walk in strife and division.
Exactly.
If you're envious, if you're causing division. Now, if you have to leave a situation, you can do it in the right spirit. But if you leave it in divisiveness, if you leave it causing division, you are carnal.
Wow.
There's a lot of carnal people around. They're babes in Christ. Are you not carnal? And you're walking just like the world. You're walking just like mere men. For one saith, I'm of Paul. I follow this preacher. I follow this guy. And another, this one. Are you not carnal? If you're following men, you're still not spiritually mature. Because here he says, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But they're ministers. They're just ministers. They're just men. We are not to love and worship and make them like Hollywood stars. And we've done that in the past move. We put these people up. They're just ministers. One planted, God gave the increase. And he that planteth and watereth, they're one. We're just serving the Lord. We're doing our part to do what God wants us. It's his will. What does God want us to do? It's his will. For your labors together with God. So here we see we're going to be rewarded in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Well, these mystics and this is the wisdom of the world. It's the wisdom of the demonic. So we're called to be spiritual, which is we are to walk in love, the real love. The real love of God rebukes. It asks questions. It tests the spirit. It's not a doormat. But you love because God's in you and he loves through you and you love people. Regardless, everybody's got flaws. Everybody's got weakness. Why do you think just because you meet someone, they're going to be your perfect friend? Well, they will until you find out what their problems are. Everybody lives on the earth. So we just love people where they are with their warts and all, right? Some people can't do that because they're not spiritual. They're carnal. So the Bible, our aim is, let the love of God should be our aim. That's our goal, to walk in love. So the Bible teaches our becoming part of the body of Christ by a spiritual birth and the Holy Spirit indwelling us and conforming us to the image of his dear Son. That's called sanctification. That is not mysticism. So it's the same as growing in the Lord. 2 Peter 3:18, we are to be spiritually mature and live our Christian life, walk out our salvation or work it out with fear and trembling. But mysticism, on the other hand, is all about experiences. It's about breath prayers and contemplative prayers. It's walking through the labyrinth, whatever they call that. Definitely Catholic, meditation and yoga. I'm going to hit the yoga thing. I mean, there's a lot of Catholics that love God, but there's a lot of mysticism. There's so much mysticism in there, and they haven't been taught correctly. So we got to teach it so that we can help people. So yoga, this is now, they call it Christian yoga. There is no Christian yoga.
No.
Yoga means union with the divine. And they, you know, they do their little greetings. Your higher self to yoke with the infinitive universal spirit. Ugh. Yoga is a new age concept that man is good and divine. Yoga is Eastern mysticism. Here again, it's mysticism again. And I'm just going to read out of this book by Dave Hunt, Yoga and the Body of Christ, and he's, of course, passed on now, but he did say something in this couple pages I wanted to read. It's not surprising that many people that are not born again are into yoga, yeah. But the surprising thing is how many Christians have drank the Kool-Aid, right? Because it's Eastern mysticism. Yoga was developed to escape this unreal world of time and sense to reach Moksha, the Hindu heaven, or to return to the void of the Buddhist. With its breathing exercises and limbering up positions, yoga is promoted in the West for enhancing health and better living. But in the Far East, where it originated and it came from, it's understood to be a way of dying.
Yes, it is.
Yoga claims to possess the ability to survive on almost no oxygen and remain motionless for hours, free of the illusions of this life. Here again, it's always getting away from reality. All these teachings are, you know, you can't face what you're really going through. You can't talk about what you're going through. Let's just escape. In spite of the widely published fact that yoga comes from occult practices in such places as China, India, and Tibet, and was not designed to enhance health but to achieve godhood, yoga has no religion. It's about Hinduism or Buddhism. And now it's become westernized, and he says here, what is yoga? Yoga literally means union. It's a practical and scientific teaching, including a system of exercises for attaining bodily and mental control and well-being that aims at bringing about the union of the human spirit with the universal spirit. We don't want to connect with a universal spirit. Why do we want to do that? It's a Hindu philosophy. That's all I'm going to go. It's a philosophy. So God always spoke, and what he spoke is written down for man to obey it. We just don't like to follow rules. And boy, the devil wants to make new ones. Turn the family upside down. Now there's TV shows, Modern Family. It's definitely not the way God created family. I've never watched it, but I've heard about it. So mystics do not adhere to the word of God, and they go beyond it. And they allow themselves to be influenced by dreams and visions that reinterpret the word. And remember, not all experiences are from God. Not all voices are from God. When I was involved in this, I heard a voice. I could have sworn I would have died believing. I heard a voice tell me something. And I thought it was God. It wasn't God. It didn't pan out, and it wasn't right. But at the time, I heard a voice. So you can hear voices. When you're in these altered state of, you know, trying to just get in the spirit, to hear something, you can hear the wrong thing, and it's dangerous. No one ever talked about that. That's what we thought we were supposed to do. So an experience can be real, but it can still be wrong. It can still not be from God, because there's two spirit worlds. And we go into mysticism, we're entering into another realm. Mystics in the church has increased. Mystics believe a spiritual awakening. Have you heard this? We need a great awakening. The great awakening is mysticism. Yes. The falling away, the Bible says, the love of many will wax cold. It doesn't say you're get on fire. No, it's because now all these different movements come together, these religions come together, all these different systems come together, and they're saying you can draw from the occult because they have this truth. You can draw from this and they have this truth. So the Bible isn't all truth. And this is where the seduction comes in. Remember, we're talking about the false church, the harlot. So they believe in a spiritual awakening, an enlightenment, a Gnostic knowing, having face-to-face encounters with Jesus. You're having encounters, all right, but I don't know who you're encountering. Right. You will not find a great awakening in the Bible. That does not ever say there's going to be a great awakening. The Bible teaches as long as we're in this body, we walk by faith. Right. We trust God. Yes. We walk by faith and not by sight and not by feelings. Mysticism is very feeling-oriented. It's all about feeling the presence of God, feeling this. I thought that was a good thing back in the day when we heard this. 1 Peter 1:8, though now you do not see him, we don't see him. We're not going to see him face to face. You still believe. That's what faith is all about. True faith is trusting in God when we can't see him. Mystics seek God through direct communion with him and actual experiences, not facts about him. Just this stuff makes them, you know, it's just boring. It's just they don't want the written word. They want to hear, they want to see and feel new experiences all the time. Statements such as, I follow Christ, not creeds, is Christian mysticism. Christian, I say, Christian. Anyone who downplays the role of theology in the church or speaks of going beyond scriptures is following the path of the mystic. Such a person will usually gravitate towards contemplative prayer, which is the prayer of silence. These people go and they go into these long, silent periods. What are they going to hear? This lady I knew did it. She came out saying the same thing that when she went in 3 days later. I was like, it was sad. I was like, there's no fruit. And then also mysticism repeats words over and over, but actually leads away from God.
That's true.
And then you go to a church service and you want to see the show. Mm-hmm. What show? I mean, you got to, you know, have something happening. And this is how the enemy works through entertainment. He slips, even through movies and stuff, we're entertained, and all of a sudden these agendas are brought out, and all of a sudden you're starting to fight off, oh yeah, that is kind of normal. Oh, maybe that is really real. Maybe that is the way people are supposed to live. And then you have to rebuke it, because it's, here's their agenda. Now I watch it with totally guarded heart, knowing you see a lot, and you don't just open up yourself to be indoctrinated by agendas. And then they enter into a state of consciousness. Well-known mystics within the church. Have you ever heard of Madame Guyon? Brother Lawrence, practicing the presence of God. He's a mystic. And today is Richard Foster. He's the author of Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth. This has been a huge influence introducing mysticism into the evangelical church. Richard Foster. He is a mystic. At its root, and I'm almost done, at its root, the charismatic movement, ecumenicalism, mysticism. Boy, that's been a long time in coming. The charismatic movement is Christian mysticism. I don't like that word Christian in it, but they say it's Christian. So then everybody thinks it's okay. It teaches people to seek spiritual experiences, manifestations of glory, and extra-biblical revelations in seeking a deeper relationship with God. You want a deeper relationship with God, so you go this pathway of mysticism. And Alice Bailey said, if you're not a mystic, you won't survive in these end-time church, and that they would invade the churches, and the churches will help them. And you can see this happening. You can see the religious and the political systems are joining together for this one world harlot. Don't be deceived. You're not going to get a savior in a politician. People think, well, so-and-so. I'm telling you, Jesus is our savior. Yes. These political systems are corrupt, and they're going to be part of the harlot church. Don't be a part of the harlot church. So don't be deceived. I know we all want to believe something great's going to happen, but the Bible doesn't say it's going to end up great. He says that this evil's world, these politicians, they're wicked. Why? Because these laws are changing. Rules are changing. The Bible, in Daniel, it talks about the times and the seasons. The laws are going to change. We're starting to see laws change we never even thought we'd ever see. It's like we're sitting here watching the end times, and didn't we think we'd miss this, really? Well, so this is dangerous. This is dangerous. There are two spirit worlds, and if you're looking outside the Bible, you're going to find the counterfeit. And there is a counterfeit to be found.
There is. Yes. Yes.
And so we don't want the counterfeit. We want the true. And so the first thing we have to do is lay down our idol preachers.
Amen.
We have made them idols. Anything they said, their latest podcast, because we've been trained to put people up in that position, and they have a platform for a reason.
Yeah.
They have a big platform for certain reasons, and it's to get the agendas, and it's to get this teaching spread abroad. You're not going to find a real holiness, Holy Ghost preacher being famous in these end times.
Right.
You're just not. You're going to see that it's a narrow road,
yes.
And you shall know them by their fruits, right? And one of the ways, too, you know it's a harlot church is that it downplays sin,
yes,
and worldliness.
Yeah.
And now they're almost trying to deconstruct Christianity. I'm connected to some magazines. They talk about this one fell. It's almost like they're purposely, like dominoes. What they built up, they're tearing down now because they want Christians to fall away. And then they want them to be led into this mystic type experiences. So, Father, we pray these words are very important in this hour, that we stay focused on you. There's so much to distract us. The news is just so discouraging of what's going on here and the climate and all the different things that are happening by design. And we know who's behind it. But Father, we know that you've allowed the enemy to do this for a season, and his time is short. He knows his time is short. So we're seeing wickedness we've never seen before. But we prayed, and we come back to the very beginning of the scripture that we said, Father, we do not want to be worn out. We don't want to be tired. We don't want to be crushed. We don't want to give up. You said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. So, Father, we thank you for grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads to teach their children. Teach them what's going on in these schools. Do not keep your head in the sand. Give them warning and correction. Father, wake some of these parents up of what's going on in some of these schools. It's just horrible, of what they're going to bring in, what is coming to these schools. And this is all by design. Alice Bailey had all these 10 points of what she wanted to bring in, and this is all happening. It's all happening, but we are not to grow weary. As it happens, we're supposed to say, thank you, Lord. You told us about that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're with me. You said you'd never leave me. You're never going to forsake me. You told me this was going to happen. You said there was coming a great falling away. You said there's a rising of the harlot.
Amen.
And we don't want to be, we want to be a part of the bride. We want to be spiritual, not mystical. Show us the difference.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise and glory. Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a gift button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.
Trade your helmet for a crown of peace at the altar.